Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Union of Concerned Scientists estimates that within the next 20 years, nearly 170 coastal communities in the U.S. will be flooded at least 26 times per year as seas rise because of global warming. That's about twice as many locations than are now at risk. And the National Flood Insurance Program, created in the 1960s, is nearly $25 billion in debt, much of that racked up after paying for Katrina in 2005 and Sandy in 2012, and after rebuilding homes flooded dozens of times. A house in Baton Rouge, valued at just $55,000, has flooded 40 times with $428,000 in claims. Now, Congress is required to reauthorize the Flood Insurance Program every 5 years. The deadline is the end of September, so how might it be fixed? Rob Moore is a senior policy analyst at the Natural Resources Defense Council, an international nonprofit environmental group. Rob, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and I just want to be clear. When I mentioned that there's a house that's only worth $55,000 that's got over $400,000 in insurance claims, or one in Houston that's gotten more than $1 million back from the government, 15 times the assessed value of $72,000 for that house. These aren't people who are scamming the flood system. These are people who can't sell their homes because their homes flood.
Well, that's true. When you look at the statistics on severe repetitive loss properties, these are properties that have flooded repeatedly and are the most flood-prone properties that are covered under the National Flood Insurance Program. The overwhelming majority of these are pretty modest homes. Mm-hmm. Just over 60% of the 30,000-plus severe repetitive loss properties we know about are worth less than $250,000. So these are not your
Mansions, seaside mansions.
Yeah, these are not beachfront second homes or vacation homes by and large. But the main problem is people that are just in some ways trapped between the risks of flooding and the way the flood insurance program works.
Right. And you mentioned how much the homes are worth, a very little amount. But these types of properties amount to 30% of the claims of the National Flood Insurance Program. And you say there are about 11,000 of them across the country. And you and others have an idea which strikes us as making a lot of sense. Instead of paying all that money to keep rebuilding these homes, why doesn't the program just buy them and help people move?
That's exactly what we think needs to be done much more frequently. However, the way the buyouts are done using FEMA and other types of federal assistance, they're amazingly inefficient. They take years for a homeowner to find out if they're going to be bought out and what price they might be paid. And there's just far too few dollars made available by Congress to help support those types of activities. For every $100 the National Flood Insurance Program has spent to rebuild properties, we've spent a paltry $1.72 to help people move somewhere safer.
Well, why is that? Because as you and others point out, you could not just buy the homes but level them to build a flood preventive area, you know, to kind of build a barrier, to start building a barrier against floods. It would have a twofold purpose. Why not change this thinking?
Yeah, well, we would not advocate building a physical barrier like a seawall or a levee necessarily, but you can create room so that floodwaters have somewhere to go.
Right.
And that is something that we will inevitably have to do along our coastlines. According to the latest sea level rise projections, you know, we're likely to see 3 to 6 feet of sea level rise between now and the end of the century. So we are going to be faced with the inevitable difficult decision of how do we help people move out of harm's way? That's a big enough challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we have built into the flood insurance program is the way it operates now, the program can often hinder people from doing that. And instead, what the flood insurance program does is it provides, first and foremost, assistance to rebuild, even when rebuilding is not what the owner necessarily wants to do, nor is it in the best financial interests of the National Flood Insurance Program.
And this causes a situation where taxpayers are paying more in damages than homeowners in many cases do in premiums. So you have low-income people who cannot move, they can't afford to move, no one will buy their house, and so they're rebuilding time after time after time. But there are also people who are paying far less in the premiums for flood insurance, way below market. Roughly one in five homeowners, we're reading in some estimates. What to do about that?
Well, that's a very difficult situation. We need to send the right price signal, for lack of a better word, to homeowners about the risks they face. One way you can do that is to charge an amount for flood insurance that represents their actual flood risk. However, this creates a real tension. You know, we have a lot of people in this country that have lived for years in flood-prone areas. Many of them are low or moderate income. And simply telling them you have to pay a lot more for flood insurance puts them in an awful predicament.
And you've told us that, you know, this was by design that they paid less. Congress directed FEMA to charge way below market rates for some of these risky areas. If people lived in old houses built before the flood insurance program or before flood maps, in other words, they didn't know. And so the thinking was they shouldn't be penalized for that. But now they do know. So, yes, how do you do that without completely jacking up their premiums?
Well, we need to transition to risk-based rates, but we also need to make insurance affordable for people that really can't. They can't afford to pay risk-based rates, but they also can't afford to be without insurance.
Well, and we know that lawmakers are, as we said, reviewing this legislation. They want to keep the program going. It's a bipartisan effort. It's up for review in September. Talk about some of the things that they are considering. For instance, they're maybe asking communities to develop plans to reduce flooding problems. What could a community do?
Yeah, Representative Royce and Blumenhauer in the House and Senators Scott and Schatz in the Senate have introduced legislation that would put more of an onus on communities to deal with the problem of repeatedly flooded homes. Oftentimes, that leads people to elevate their homes. You see this very commonly in coastal areas and even in riverine floodplains. It also means helping people move to higher ground, especially if that's what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, look, Congress first got involved in the mid-60s because private insurers were just losing money so much. This feels a little bit like healthcare in some ways. So Congress stepped in. Some now are calling for private firms to come back in the market even more to, you know, once again offer flood insurance. But there's a concern that it will be like healthcare, that they will just start covering the people who are the least likely to be flooded. And again, the government will be stuck with all the repeat flooders.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern that people have. You know, at NRDC, we think that having more private insurers involved should be a good thing. If they can sign up more people into getting flood insurance coverage. The fact of the matter is that the National Flood Insurance Program has never reached everybody that is legally required to have flood insurance and that needs flood insurance. Only about 50% of single-family homes in floodplains bother to purchase flood insurance. If private insurers can get that number up dramatically, then that's probably a good thing for the program overall.
And we should remind people began to be required to have a flood insurance in order to get their mortgage if you're going to live in these areas.
That's absolutely correct. If you have a federally guaranteed mortgage or you have a mortgage from a federally insured lender, you are legally required to purchase flood insurance if you live in a floodplain. But really, more people than that should buy flood insurance. About 20% of all flood damage claims happen outside the mapped 100-year floodplain.
Well, one last thing. This National Flood Insurance Program also provided a way for people to know if they're in flood zones by mapping. And we understand the Trump administration is calling for cutting, I think, $190 million out of the agency that does the mapping. How important is it for people to even know where they stand or stand in water?
It's critically important. Flood maps are just one piece of the information that homeowners need to have to understand their flood risks. The Trump administration has proposed to eliminate all funding for floodplain mapping, which is short-sighted in the extreme. Unfortunately, our floodplain maps don't believe in climate change. They say nothing about what the flood risks are going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when people are still likely to be living in that home. So people may move into an area that's currently outside of the 100-year floodplain, but may within a short period of time find that they're mapped into it because flood risks are always increasing, at least in coastal areas.
That's Rob Moore, senior policy analyst at the Natural Resources Defense Council, talking about the problems at the National Flood Insurance Program, up for review, set to be reauthorized in September. Rob, thank you.
Thank you very much.